This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Up top it goes to Sarah Strong. Backdoor. Becker's cutting down the lane. Hammer flipped it in and one. It has been UConn's night, and Paige Becker is going to the line, a chance for a three-point play. The Connecticut lead is 28.
Thank you to the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, and it was an absolute just demolishing of South Carolina, which is not what we were expecting. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. For Gino Auriemma, It's his 12th national title, Perloff, so that passes UCLA as a men's program. John Wooden won 10 of the 11 titles, so Gino now himself just passes UCLA as head coach. Paige Beckers gets her first. AZ Fudd is player of the tournament, and Sarah Strong now one of the great freshman performances. And we think of all the incredible freshmen who have played for UConn. She's now in that conversation. Just dominance here by UConn in the title.
Yeah, back. How many years has it been since
2016 was the last championship.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Dawn Salley is a god where I'm from in Philadelphia.
Sure.
I came into that game, I'm like, well, I've been saying, I think I said to you, I'm like, no one's beating South Carolina. They're just too South Carolina-y, whatever that is.
Okay.
They're just too tough, mentally tough, like their coach. Well, they just weren't even in the game.
No, and UConn plays so fast, and, you know, it was just, if Paige is going to play that well, and AZ Fudd is going to play that well, and Sarah Strong, you're toast. It was just too much for South Carolina to overcome. They're not going anywhere. UConn's not going anywhere. And the women's game is in really good hands. There wasn't as much buzz this time around there was when Caitlin was in college, but, you know, still a good tournament. Yeah. I think if Juju Watkins had not gotten hurt, that UConn-USC game is a lot more interesting.
I think, you need star power. Look at the NBA. That's the star-driven league.
Yep.
So Juju Watkins going down, I don't think you can underestimate the impact of that.
No, it was huge. Yeah. I guess the other part, too, is I don't know, and I think college basketball fans have kind of, the casual fan, I'm not saying the diehards, the casual fan, which is what you need when you're getting to these big ratings numbers and stuff like that. I think the casual fan got a little tired of UConn, you know, because the explosion of the sport, granted, UConn has helped the sport a lot, but the explosion of the sport really happened when someone else was taking different turns. So we're talking about Caitlin and what she did at Iowa. We're talking about Angel Reese winning a title at LSU. We're talking about Dawn Staley. We're talking about Juju Watkins coming on the scene for USC. Other people and other programs had a huge hand in this sort of exponential up and to the right, you know, kind of, if you will, like growth of women's college sports. And I don't know if UConn now being back at the top of the mountain makes people, you know, eyes glaze over, because I think everyone likes Paige Beckers and was following her story very closely. But it's kind of like business as usual with UConn.
But wait, I don't understand that because you said 2016 was their last title.
But they've made the Final Four like almost every time since.
Well, right, but the sport exploded in 23, right? That's the big jump. And so I'm not sure. I don't totally buy that. It felt like it was is more kind of, it was more Caitlin
and Angel. But that's what I'm wondering. If UConn being back at the top of the mountain, do you get college? I'm saying, again, the casual fan, the diehard fan will always be there. Do you get the casual fan is like, oh, all right, we're back to UConn.
But they're still
everything.
Sharing the top of the mountain with South Carolina, right? I mean, it's not like South Carolina has gone away.
No, they haven't. But yesterday, that was a beatdown.
Yeah, that's one game. Do you really think that UConn's going to go on the same kind of role they had 10 years ago?
Well, I'm watching Sarah Strong, and she's not going anywhere. And yeah. AZ Fudd's coming back. And if she stays healthy and strong, I mean, it's still UConn. They you know, there's a reason why they were the program for as long as they were.
Yeah, but it feels like, just to me, I mean, there's no way they're going on that kind of run that they had before. Not in today's college basketball world. You think they are? So that's interesting to me that you think that they could back to where they were in 2007 or something.
No, listen, there's a lot more parity in the sport for sure. And I think that's helped it. And I do just think it helped. And this happens in all sports, by the way. I don't think it's just UConn. When you have these dynasties and these dominant teams, people love it. Then they kind of want to see them lose, you know, and the love doesn't stay with you forever. There's always a little bit of a backlash. And the sport got really reach new heights it had never reached before when UConn wasn't winning the title. And that's just a fact. 888-710-4ISN.
I don't accept that fact because I think your timing's right. I just think then the explosion would have happened a little bit. You're telling me that this all happened because UConn wasn't dominant. I don't totally see that narrative. Just the timing, I think, because it would have maybe exploded a little earlier. South Carolina didn't do anything for the sport. I mean, it didn't explode because South Carolina got really good.
No, I think it really exploded because Caitlin and Angel.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it was because it's not UConn. And yeah, I understand, like, you couldn't have had Caitlin and Angel if UConn was winning 200 straight games. But I don't think that it was it's like the NFL got really popular because of parity. I don't think that's exactly what happened here with college basketball. I think the players stay, unlike the men's game.
That's true.
So we know them. And I think you were, this tournament was educational. I don't think the rating was going to be massive yesterday because you don't have the star power. You had Paige, but you needed Juju Watkins actually plays like a star. Like, she's on a team where nobody, they have one other good player, but you need a singular force like her, I think, to really catch eyeballs.
I think a lot of people thought it was Paige, but and Paige has been a phenom since high school, but she doesn't cap. I think she is respected, what she's gone through, her injuries, all of that she's come back, and people are happy for her that she won a national title finally. She is not captivating people like Caitlin and Angel did, though, right?
I even think Juju is more exciting than Paige, because she's sort of, she's just got such star power on the court. Paige plays part of, I think, and we've talked about this too, if you're on the UConn women, you have to share the ball a little bit.
Totally. They got amazing players at almost every position.
There are other stars where Juju is, you know, she's going to take the ball every time, and it's amazing to watch.
EJ, you want to get into this conversation?
Just a question I want to ask you guys is, do you feel like this explosion would have happened in women's college basketball if Caitlin Clark would have went to UConn?
No.
Yeah, she would have to share the ball. Never would have happened.
Why, you think so?
I don't know. I think there's a chance, only because I feel like while, yes, so much of it was her scoring a lot of points, I still think there's a novelty of seeing this little girl who's not actually little, but she looks little to everyone watching on TV, run around taking 30-footers. And I think that
would she have been allowed to take those?
I think she's going to take deep threes, though. She may not be taking as many.
She had the green light coming over a half court on that team. I don't think she would have been able to
I think
it.
Gino is, who am I to say him? He's a very smart basketball coach.
You think?
I think he would see Caitlin Clark and say, okay, like, I'm going to have to give her a lot more rope than I gave maybe some other girls. And to be fair, Diana Taurasi was like a 22, 23-point scorer. It wasn't like he hasn't had big-time scorers. Like, Maya Moore was a big-time scorer as well. So I feel like Caitlin may have went there, and maybe she's not averaging 30, but if she's averaging 20, still shooting from the logo, I think that still resonates with people.
But
and
she was joining
three
a team with,
in a row.
Wasn't she joining a team with? I don't know the timing. Paige Beckers was already there.
Yeah. They're the same. They're in the same.
Yeah.
High
school
class.
I mean, she was Player of the Year. Paige Beckers still would have been the 1A. She was a much bigger recruit, I imagine.
Not really. Paige
Beckers was not a bigger recruit than Caitlin Clark.
Not, you said much better. I said Caitlin was like a top five recruit in her class. She was
but
a fourth.
Paige was generational.
Right. Number one versus number four is not much better.
But she would have had to share the ball. That's.
I just think that part of the Caitlin story was also taking a team that had never even sniffed that kind of success. The Iowa women's basketball program, forgive me, I'm not a historian on Hawkeyes women's hoops before Caitlin got there, but had never reached that kind of success, right?
Yeah.
I do think that's part of it. It's like she kind of took a different lane and a different path, and she raised a program, and UConn, that's a house that a million people built.
Well,
never going to be as good as Maya Moore, or you're never going to be as good as Diana Taurasi, or you're never going to be as beloved as Sue Bird, or whatever. You could just insert, Swin Cash, whoever you want in there. It's just legend after legend.
But could you argue that it's kind of like Steph Curry if he had got to the finals twice? How big would that have been?
At Davidson, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it would, again. I think that's a huge
part of it. That's what I mean, right. But you're never going to be able to do... She was such a unique phenomenon because I think if she went to UConn, she would have had to share the ball with Paige Beckers and all these other people. We could ask Gino, would you have let her shoot all the time from out there? Steph Curry was unique because he was at Davidson. If he was at Duke, he'd be Seth.
Better Seth Curry.
Oh, Seth was pretty good.
I'll push back on that only because we talk about how much, and you said it, Pearl, how the Duke brand raises anybody that puts on that blue and white
profile.
Right?
Yeah,
right. So maybe Duke is the wrong thing, but if Steph Curry was playing for Duke, there was a little light skinned kid that's Del Curry's son that was shooting from 30 playing for Duke.
What are you talking about? They had all kinds of shooters like that. They had J.J. Redick and Trajan Langdon.
J.J. Redick was a college megastar. That's
yeah.
Right. So imagine if Stephen Curry was doing that for Duke.
And he'd be like one of the biggest college stars of all time.
He'd be bigger than he was at Davidson.
But the story would have been different.
Story would have been different. He's not
the underdog. Would have been different.
No, but in my hypothetical there, Steph Curry gets a two finals like Caitlin Clark. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I think that Caitlin was, and with Angel and Mixon, was such a unique phenomenon. But the sport was poised for it. I don't even know how we got here. My other question too is, what is it moving forward?
So here's my one thing about Gino Auriemma moving forward. So now he's got 12 titles. He's past John Wooden, who won 10 of UCLA's 11, and Gino's got 12. Now nobody is talking about this, whether or not he might retire. It's been 40 years now for Gino. He still looks young, acts young, all of that, and he's got Sarah Strong now as just coming off this amazing freshman year. So I don't know if he wants to leave now, but what happens after he retires? Like we just watched with John Shire. This is going to be one of the most interesting handoffs of any program ever. Gino, they're 40 years, all the success. So that's going to be an interesting thing to look out for. But
kind of John Wooden-esque.
But here's the thing. I don't think talking about who the greatest college coach of all time is for the big sports, basketball and football, I don't even think we're ever going to have that conversation again. Because of NIL. Because it's not about the coaching as much anymore. It's about the money now. So even if you are an all-time... Yeah, I know. Wink, wink. But even if you are an all-time great coach, now it's just, who's offering the most money? And who can collect the most... who can build the best team in terms of the GMs and stuff and with whatever money you have as opposed to the coach? The recruiting is over. We just talked about this. The mystique of these programs doesn't matter as much anymore. Maybe for Duke, I guess, but we asked this question about North Carolina. What's going on with the Tar Heels? What happens when Bill Self retires from Kansas? What happens with Kentucky? All these blue blood programs, you're no longer going and sitting in the living room and having to convince someone's grandma that I'm going to be the best, I'm going to take care of your son or your daughter. It's about money now. So I think these greatest of all time coaching conversations are basically over. It's gonna sound silly as we move forward because it's all about money.
Yeah, but the way college basketball works, you don't want those high-end expensive recruits. You want a team that's going to stick around forever. So you want, I'm sorry, I keep getting it. It's a Jay Wright model. You want non-NBA players who are going to play forever.
But in the Jay Wright model, Jalen Brunson may not have stayed. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, come on. That team, I'm saying that team did not have high. He was a second round pick. He did not have high. No, I mean, Jalen Brunson, yeah, he definitely would have stayed.
I don't know if
who needs Brunson.
You can get into the portal and maybe Bridges doesn't stay.
Stay at Villanova.
Yeah, stay at Villanova. I'm saying you're saying you know, you can keep these teams together.
But you can.
I don't know
but
if
you can. You have to have old teams to win. I keep getting back to this. And
but
honestly,
not together teams necessarily. They could be old, but just someone transfer from here and someone transfer from here.
But getting back to the coaching thing, I think coaching is super important in college basketball right now because it's not you're not going to be able to overwhelm them with NBA talent like Pete Calipari. It's just not going to happen because of what you're describing. So now you're going to the better coach teams are probably going to advance. I think coaching might be more important in a way because it's not about talent anymore. You know, it's not about the Cooper Flags and the Dylan Harpers and the Ace Baileys. It's about the guys who stick around and play great defense and are team players and do all these different things and how the pieces fit. That feels more like coach stuff to me.
Okay, but what's the main reason why guys stick around?
Well,
money.
No. Because they're not NBA talents. Those guys are all there. Houston and Florida, because they're not big-time NBA talents. That's why they're sticking around. Otherwise, they'd want to get into that crazy NBA contract.
Sure, that's fine. But I'm just saying LJ Cryer, right?
Yeah, there's right.
Why is he at Houston and not at Gonzaga? Money. Like the reason why he's still there, it's still always the money. That's what I'm saying.
Well, he was at Baylor. Yeah. I mean, he already transferred once. He's played 2 years at Houston. I'm not sure.
When he's leaving Baylor, why Houston and not somewhere else?
But he didn't. First of all, LJ Cryer wasn't that expensive. It's not like Cooper Flagg.
I'm just making the point. You were talking about how you win now. Older guys with a commitment to play with each other's defense.
But I don't think Houston bought this team. That's the thing. Like, this is not, maybe I'm wrong. Or maybe
every team is bought.
But that's if that's the case, then what's the distinguishing thing between all these teams?
You could then give the credit to Kelvin Sampson. But I think the credit really goes to the collective.
I don't think so, because I see Rutgers spent a ton of money this year and barely was above 500. Were they even above 500?
Yeah.
No, I think you have more parity than ever, which means the coaches probably become a bigger factor, but you're not going to out-talent anyone because of the transfer portal, the talent spread out. So that I would argue, you know, I think, and honestly, I think Danny Hurley's an all-time coach. I think this is his era in a sense, because he's not going to, there's going to be enough parity that his discipline and the way he sort of coaches those guys is going to make a big difference.
I'm telling you, the one thing that nobody is talking about, but the college coaches are talking about it quite a bit. And when Kevin Willard left Maryland, he basically kind of didn't just hint at this. He said it. The Big East coaches that many believe are going to be at this amazing advantage now that they didn't have before because they don't have to split their revenue with football. So the St. John's and the Villanovas and now, you know, all these Big East teams who there's not a football program in sight that actually matters. They're going to be at this and UConn. They're going to be at this massive. I know UConn does have football, but, you know, the basketball is the main thing.
Yeah.
Apparently the SEC coaches are complaining about it, which is rich, but still.
I don't know. I think, for example, LJ Cryer, it doesn't feel like, man, Houston just bought this team. It feels like they're really well coached, really disciplined, really they're all for one for all. It also feels to me that you need, with this NIL era, you need a great coach to get these guys who are getting paid money to really focus on what's important, which is the team, and not be looking ahead to the NBA. I don't know. I think coaching is always big in college, more so than the NBA, because the NBA, the guys are older. For example, coaching LeBron's 40. He's a coach in his own right.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I still think it's very important. I understand what you're saying. NIL has had a massive, massive impact on the game. It's going to spread the talent out. You're not going to have John Wooden. John Wooden had them, I would say, probably the most expensive team every year. You know,
yeah, right.
I mean, honestly, like, that's naive to not think that money has had a huge factor in who's good in college sports.
You're absolutely right. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, so we're talking a little about the future of college hoops. You also got a national title game tonight, Houston, Florida. Who you got in that one? And Duke's collapse, choke, whatever you want to call it. More on John Shire, more on the players. Let us know. 888-710-44-ISN. Coming up in just a little bit, Andy Katz is going to join us from San Antonio. He's going to be on the call with Westwood One tonight for the men's championship game. Don't move. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Interesting debate in the last segment. In the NIL transfer portal era, will we ever have a dominant coach like Gino Auriemma, John Wooden, Coach K?
Yeah, Roy Williams.
I mean, maybe I'm naive and maybe I'm too pro, but we could have one in Dan Hurley, possibly. We'll see what UConn does next year. You know, UConn put the possible national champion, Florida, took them to the very last minute and definitely should have won that game. Florida has, I don't know how Florida does this. They make teams panic at the end, but UConn had them, which would have been really interesting. So that's a debate. I kind of think coaching is as important as ever. Maggie says you can buy a championship.
I think the mystique around a lot of these programs is waning. I'm not saying it's gone yet, but right. If we keep going in this direction, like I'm trying to think 5 years down the line, what's right. The difference between Duke and SMU? Because whoever has the most money is going to be the one who stands on top.
But the best recruited teams was obviously John Calipari's Kentucky team. They bred every superstar possible, and it only resulted in one title.
That's true. I guess, listen, I don't know if you're ever going to have that team again, because even in the NIL era, and even with all the money in the world, can you get 6 first-round draft picks on one team? I don't know.
You got three top 15 picks on Duke.
But think about it. Young. Even with like on those Cal teams, like the 6th man was getting drafted in the top in the lottery.
Ran into the same problem, though. The guys did not stick around because they had all that NBA money coming.
That's true. 888-710-4ISN. Also, you're putting Gino Auriemma in the conversation for greatest coach of all time?
College or all sports? What are we doing here?
I mean, artist choice. He's got 12 titles. That certainly gets him in the conversation. College, I feel like, is a no-brainer. You want to go all time?
Yeah, it's funny. It's a Wooden debate, right? John Wooden, maybe Coach K. I don't even know who the competition is. But you don't do John Wooden versus Vince Lombardi. So I want to keep it to college.
Okay. Or just basketball?
Who's
because
the NBA
Gino's
guy?
Also won a million gold medals, too.
Who's the NBA greatest coach or WNBA?
Phil Jackson.
Red Auerbach.
Yeah, and Red.
Coach Spin Doctor, Glenn Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers, the Spin Doctor himself.
Greatest at winning 3 games in a 4-game
greatest season. Greatest regular season coach, Tom Thibodeau.
Well, All right. Bogus has headlines for us. Right, what's up, folks?
Well, speaking of Tibbs, all is right in the booth to my left because Jalen Brunson was back last night.
Everyone always talks about the physical part, about how you're feeling or whatever, but mentally it's just trusting it, trusting your movements, trusting the way you play and everything, not second-guessing yourself. And so that was the biggest adjustment, but I'm feeling a lot better.
Brunson, 15 points and 6 assists after missing 15 games with a sprained ankle. The Knicks dumped the Suns last night, 112-98, to clinch their second straight 50-win season, something they hadn't done since the early 90s. Phoenix, meanwhile, now...
Who needs Brunson?
You guys do. Phoenix is now 2.5 games behind the Mavs for the last spot in the West play-in. The Kings' 121-13 win in Cleveland kept the Cavs from clinching number one in the East and eliminated the Blazers from playoff contention. And the Celtics hammered the Wizards 124-90. Derek White scored 19-20 off the bench for Peyton Pritchard.
20.5 point spread, by the way.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. and the Blue Jays are keeping their marriage going. It's a reported 14-year extension worth $500 million. No deferrals and a full no-trade clause for the 26-year-old four-time All-Star. The UConn women are national champs for the first time in 9 years, the 12th time overall. This is how Paige Beckers wanted to end her college career.
Can't even put it into words how much this means to me. Like, the journey has been the reward, and to cap it off with something like this that we'll remember forever, it's just, you can't even put it into words how much this means. You're just in a full state of gratitude.
That's Paige on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. After the 82-59 rout of South Carolina in Tampa, she scored 17. Hazy Fudd and Sarah Strong each had 24. And finally, guys, let's hear a man's brain melt live on TV.
Cluck, cluck on the outside. Quick, quiet, cluck, cluck. They meet again. Coming to the final furlong. Quick, quiet, cluck, cluck. Cluck, cluck, quick, quiet, just holding, cluck, 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 still charging, quick, quiet, cluck, 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 cluck on the outside, quick, quiet, cluck, cluck, quick, quiet, cluck, cluck, quick, quiet, cluck, cluck, quick, quiet, quick, quiet.
Manny swears that's real.
Dr. Seuss calling a horse race?
That's apparently a guy named Dave Rodman. It was a race over the weekend at Laurel Park in Maryland. Quit, quiet, beating Cluck Cluck. I swear that
amazing.
There's video.
That's awesome.
That might be the best broadcaster of all time. Just
and then
technically.
He died.
And now he has no frontal lobe. That's incredible commitment. I mean, to be able to keep that going.
And no accidental cursing. Like, he didn't stumble into a bad word or something. You know, just that shouldn't be on the air. I don't know. I don't.
Quay and Cluck Cluck, man.
Yeah. Good for them.
I almost want it. Can I just hear it again? It's so good.
Cluck Cluck on the outside. Quick Quay, Cluck Cluck. They meet again. Coming to the final furlong. Quick Quay, Cluck Cluck. Cluck Cluck, Quick Quay, Quick Quay just holding, Cluck Cluck, Cluck Cluck still charging, Quick Quay, Cluck Cluck, Cluck Cluck on the outside, Quick Quay, Quick Quay, Cluck Cluck, Quick Quay, Cluck Cluck, Quick Quay, Cluck Cluck, Quick Quay, Quick Quay.
He almost lost it there for a second.
That one Cluck Cluck almost got him.
Almost lost it and he got it back. Oh, that's just beautiful.
I don't want to tell Dave how to do his job because clearly he knows how to do it, but in that situation, don't you have to just pick one of the horses and just have that be the focal point? Listen, of your call?
Boak, this is theater of the mind, man. He's got to give you cluck,
no,
cluck.
No, it's on TV. I can watch Quick Quay and Cluck Cluck go nose to nose down in the last for long.
I mean, it's beautiful. He should win some kind of award for that.
Does he practice? Do you guys know, this is such a dad, the Fox and Socks with Dr. Seuss's tongue twister book. Have you ever tried to do that without cursing? Maggie, you nailed it. It is bad. Fox and Socks. Oh, God. It's the worst.
He just had a flashback on live radio.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the lines. This is bad. There's so many words that begin with, I don't know.
Yeah, we're picking
just
up what
them.
You're putting down. And then all of a sudden you're cursing in front of your six-year-old.
Yeah, no, I can't actually say this because I'm terrible with these things. But
that is just so impressive.
It's not just the word you think it is. There's a lot of other words. That are, Dr. Sure. Seuss was a sicko, quietly.
That is so good. Like, what is more impressive as a broadcaster? To be able to do that, Quick Quay, Cluck Cluck, and just, like, beautifully call that to the end? Or if someone has, like, a great call? Like, I've been listening to all the Ovechkin calls, you know, whether it was Capitals Radio, Capitals TV, Kenny Albert on the national broadcast with TNT. They are all so good, but what's better, to be able to have that skill of the tongue twister and never lose it, or just find the words for the moment?
I think is better. Like this, the ability to do all of that rapid fire and not pass out, I think is the bigger.
Yeah, like, you are a play-by-play man, folks.
No, not anymore.
Well, yeah, horse racing is a different animal. Oh
yes.
My God!
Literally.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, technically a different animal.
Than hockey.
Yes. Who do you think had the best Ovi call?
I have no idea. I did
you
not
didn't
sit
listen
around.
To all of them?
No, it's I had other stuff going on.
Like, what?
I was just happy that both Kenny Albert and Joe Beninati on Capitals TV, they both stopped talking.
Do it.
Well, they both had to do it. They both stopped talking. Like, they called it. It was done. It was natural. It wasn't, I don't think either one of them had a predetermined thing to throw in there. And then they were just quiet.
Yeah.
And they let us watch.
You have to be on TV.
But not, some guys like to talk.
Oh, I know. Tony Romo has jumped over more Nance calls. It's such a bummer. No, everyone understood the assignment. Kenny Albert just did the number twice.
Yeah.
Right? Saying 895, 895. And I like Joe Beninati's because he's got his classic fires and scores. Like, that's his thing.
Yes.
And it was an all-timer. So there you go. Thank you for that, Bogish. Made us smile this morning. Let's head to San Antonio, shall we, and check in with one of our absolute favorites. Does such a phenomenal job covering college hoops on Westwood One for this tournament and so many other places. Andy Katz, good enough to join the show and get up early for us. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. Before we can look ahead to tonight, though, let's go back to what we saw in the Final Four. Can you put Duke's collapse into perspective for us? What did you see? You're right there courtside. And just what does this mean globally for Duke?
Well, I've done this a long time, covered every Final Four since 92 that there's been one. Obviously, there wasn't in 20. And I don't remember comeback, collapse, whatever you want to call it, meltdown, to this extreme. You know, we've seen stuff like this in the regular season. but not necessarily in the postseason. But I also think that as much as Duke contributed, I think we have to really shift the focus to how much Houston won it. You know, they're not 19-1 for a reason in the Big 12. They didn't lose a road game in the Big 12, which is amazing when you think about it, that they won so many road games, all of them, in a conference like that. They actually only lost one game this season in regulation. Really remarkable job by Kelvin Sampson. Actually, that's who I voted for National Coach of the Year. And, you know, this team, the toughness, the will, the ability to just make things happen late, the way they just swarmed on those the inbounds to suddenly, and I was talking to Emmanuel Sharp yesterday for Westwood One, you know, when they made those late last two shots and he made one of the threes, there was no hesitation because they were taking them as if they were at the buzzer, even though like his shot wasn't, but they were ready, set, got the ball, knew where their feet were and launched it off the sort of frenetic turnover. And then look, sometimes you get lucky, you know, the over the back pawn flag that goes their way. Then, well, prior to that, Proctor misses the free throw. And then at the other end, you've got Jawan Roberts, who is a roughly 60% free throw shooter and doesn't consistently hit back-to-back. He hits the first. You see him trying to calm the crowd down and himself. And then he hits the second and essentially wins the game. So, you know, those kinds of things all happened in their favor. You know, one Bo I'll put on is that, and, you know, it's interesting. During our coverage, I interviewed Hakeem Olajuwon, which was pretty cool. And, you know, I was thinking back after that, you know, he was in three straight Final Fours, didn't win any of them. 83, of course, you know what happens with NC State. He's the MVP. They don't win. He loses the buzzer, and he comes back in that era, and they lose again in 84 to Georgetown and Patrick Ewing. And so you think about, like, if we were in that era, then Duke would come back next year with Cooper Flagg, with Con Knipple, and, you know, try to win it. But the difference here is we're in an era where you get one shot with these specific teams. That's it. And so that's what's haunting, I think, for them, is that this will be something they'll remember forever, that it was so close to attaining.
Yeah, what does this do, Andy, for Cooper Flagg's college basketball legacy?
Well, look, you can't take away that he had a historic freshman season. Very few freshmen, obviously, get to complete what he was attempting to do. I mean, right off the top of my head, I'm thinking of two. You know, Carmelo Anthony was just getting into the Hall of Fame. He did it in 03 as a freshman. Anthony Davis in 2012 did it as a freshman, leading Kentucky to the title. And he was trying to do that as a freshman, lead his team to the national championship. I mean, someone as great as Kevin Durant, who was player of the year, he didn't do it. Didn't get them to the Final Four. So it's pretty rare to do what he was attempting to do. And I think the frustration that will live forever is just how close they were. Now, obviously, you could win this game and not win tonight. You know, that's happened plenty of times. We've had these unbelievable semifinal games. Like, you think back to Wisconsin in 2015, where they ended Kentucky's 38-0 season, and, you know, they were going to win a national championship, historic run, and they run into Duke and Grayson Allen in the last 5 minutes and don't complete it. So you can win, you know, this epic semifinal, and that's what we'll see tonight. Does Houston complete it, you know, after the comeback that they just had? And, you know, also go back to the Sweet 16 where they had to have this inbounds play where Milo Susan gets the ball back and then converts and beats Purdue, you know, essentially close to the buzzer. So they've now had two games like that in this run to a potential title.
Andy Katz is joining us. You can listen to the coverage on Westwood One. Also doing work for the digital side for NCAA.com. And as you said, has just, you know, covered every Final Four. And Andy, you've forgotten more college hoops than we'll ever know. Looking ahead to tonight, it's going to be hard, obviously. You never know who the star is going to be. You never know who's going to be that one guy who stands out, or a couple guys. But obviously, Walter Clayton Jr. has really taken this tournament by storm. I'm going to put it to you this way. Who do you think has the most to gain tonight? If you want to say who's got the most pressure on them, you could put it that way. But who is, if there's one individual who has the most to gain in the championship game, whether it's a player or a coach, who do you think it is?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about this, you know, and I hadn't thought about this in the last 24 hours. I do think that if Florida loses, but loses like late, Walter Clayton Jr. could do what Hakeem did, which is be the MVP of the Final Four without winning it, because he was the best player, you know, in the two games. Maybe not the best talent, but he was the best player on Saturday night. And, you know, he has, there's no question he's put himself into the first round. You know, we'll see how high he goes. But, you know, 2 years ago, he was playing in Iona for Rick Pitino. He's player of the year in the MAC. And, of course, you can go from the MAC to the NBA, but it's not a straight path. And, you know, what he's done, you know, so far, there's no question, I think, that he's an NBA player, and he can continue that legacy and cap it with a title tonight. I mean, I just don't think that we would see anyone off of Houston benefit to that degree. I mean, L.J. Cryer could have a great game, but he's just not – he's a notch below Walter Clayton Jr., not to give Bulls and Boys material, but, you know, I think Clayton Jr. is a little better and has had a better year overall, obviously, All-American. So I think he has the most to gain individually. But I will say this, that this would be a pretty fitting cap, potentially, to Kelvin Sampson's career, which I think ultimately will end up in the Hall of Fame. He's going for win number 800 tonight. This is his third Final Four, one at Oklahoma, two at Houston. And if he wins the championship, you know, he didn't say this yesterday, but I would not be shocked. I mean, I tried to get this out of him, and I didn't, but I tried. You know, if he wins it tonight, I wouldn't, you know, Kellen Sampson's going to take over, his son. I wouldn't be shocked if they announced some sort of succession plan, like with an actual date. And look, it's worked at places like Purdue, obviously Duke, to have that coach in waiting, to know that you're going to have this plan, because they've got a great recruiting class coming in. So if you know that Kelvin will be there for at least a year, maybe two, whatever it's going to be, but you know this is the plan officially for a certain date, you know, he's 69 years old, so he's going to be 70 here soon. I would not be surprised if that happened. If Todd Golden wins, you know, then he enters a new realm in coaching, gets that title, and continues a meteoric rise over the last 3 years.
Andy, we're up against a break. If I put you on the spot, who has the coaching edge tonight? It said, you know, you said Sampson would be your coach of the year. Is it therefore Houston, or how would you judge those two against each other?
Yeah, I mean, Sampson has been in more pressure situations. His players respond to his intensity and his passion and his will. And so, yes, I would definitely give the edge to Kelvin Sampson. The question is, will Houston be able to score well enough to keep up with Florida? They'll defend Florida better than Auburn did, but will they be able to score well enough to keep up? And they just don't want to get in that kind of deep hole against the Gators and come out with the W. So, I don't know. I think it's a bit of a toss-up. I don't even know what the line is. I think it's a toss-up. You know, after what we saw Saturday night, you know, it's hard to predict anything.
Andy Katz, you could listen to him. Westwood One's coverage of the championship tonight has done a fantastic job on the tournament overall. Also on the digital side for NCAA.com. Andy, thank you so much for doing this. Have fun tonight. Enjoy the game.
All right, thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. By the way, Andy mentioned Hakeem Olajuwon. I don't know how this ended, but did you see the social media post of some overzealous security person?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Or not even a security person. It was like someone in a suit with like a headset on wouldn't let Hakeem like onto
the court. Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing?
That's not good.
That's not good.
But you know what? I always give the security guys a benefit of the doubt. It's a hard job.
They're under strict orders. Don't let anyone there. But
you know what I keep telling you guys is anybody who works security at a sports arena, they should have to take some kind of quiz to
know
who people are. It doesn't say that if you fail that you don't get to work, but you got to take it again until you pass.
Right. Like it's a pop culture and sports quiz like that guy from the Eagles. Like you have to know who Kevin Hart is to let him up there.
But then you're getting in danger of impersonators. We've seen that. There's nothing funnier when the guy looks like a pro athlete and sneaks in and takes shots. Fake Clay Thompson. That's a guy. Yeah. There's a few of those.
That guy got on the court and chewed around.
Yeah, he broke into the Oracle.
But then again, maybe we want to encourage that because they're kind of harmless. If you you look enough like a pro athlete to get out into the layup line, then go for it.
Well, by the way, if you look like Hakeem Olajuwon, first you got to be 6'10". Like,
true.
People, all right, I'm out.
People have probably been mistaking you for Hakeem your whole life. You know, 888-710-4ISN. Lots more to do. We got the M&P 500 coming your way. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big weekend? And of course, what was Dion up to this weekend? Answer, a lot. It's next.
Quick, 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 quick.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey.
All right, Manny. This is Shania. Did you just discover her, too?
2 days ago.
Squares. Manny discovering music from the early 2000s or before is one of the great joys of this show. When you discovered ABBA was like a revelation for you.
The best is the 80s, because the 80s, how can you not like 80s music? It's got 100% approval. It's so light and fluffy and meaningless. How can you not like it?
Meaningless.
Toto? I mean, like, they're basically...
Well, you also had Michael Jackson and Madonna.
Right. And yeah, who doesn't like any of those songs?
Yeah, that's a fair point. You know who has a sneaky amount of hits? This is going to sound stupid. Queen. They have so many hits.
Wow, you know, that's a super hot take. You know who else? Led Zeppelin.
I know. They're one of the great bands of our time. You know,
movie.
I know, but the movie stunk. And you think about like Bohemian Rhapsody or whatever. But
that movie did not stink. You're out of your mind.
Their hits list goes 10, 12 deep.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's go to Jay.
You're out of your mind.
That movie was horrible.
No, that movie was definitely good. Rami Malek was awesome.
No, the movie stunk because it was a Queen's biopic. And why it stunk is because the estate got too involved and they wouldn't actually tell you the real story. It got completely whitewashed and you didn't even get any adversity in the story, like barely. I feel like I didn't know any of the characters any better leaving than when I came in. I learned nothing about Freddie Mercury. I knew he was from Zanzibar. I knew that he had extra teeth.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You like that movie?
Yes, definitely. I thought he did a great Freddie Mercury.
Well, and he could be good, but the movie
wasn't adversity.
Good.
I mean, they very much did a lot of him dying from AIDS.
Well, okay, but there was nothing controversial about that. That was just the fact. Like, their rise, did you notice how they basically glazed over everything? How about Freddie Mercury, any sniff of drugs? No? Nothing.
Yes, are you kidding me? He was walking around his own apartment with a tray full of cocaine, giving it to people. Very many sniffs of drugs.
But they never. It was never the dark side of that.
Again, let me ask you. We went over movie genres that Maggie doesn't like. I'm assuming musical biopics are not your favorite.
No. Well, I told you I don't like any specific genre. I'm the wrong person. But generally, I like. We talked about Val Kilmer passed away last week. The Doors is a great
movie. Did you like the Dylan movie?
I didn't watch the whole thing.
Okay, you like the Johnny Cash movie?
I did. I liked Walk the Line a lot.
I can't believe you did. I liked the Queen movie. I thought it was fine. It's not as good as some of the other ones. The Ray Charles movie, amazing.
That was excellent. Jamie Foxx was excellent. That didn't win the Oscar for it, no? Or nominated, at least. He was so good in that.
I think he won, yeah.
Yep. Okay, 888-710. Quickly, Jay is a natural. Jay, I left you no time. What do you got for us this morning?
Well, once again, Maggie's smoking angel dust, Holmes, but look, we'll get to that movie was great, but let's get to the nitty gritty. I mean, first of all, that women's championship, it reminded me of KC getting beat down by Philadelphia after winning two Super Bowls. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
You're right.
And I'm disappointed in the Auburn. I was walking around downtown Nashville with my Auburn shirt on. I even had my Grant Hills on, so I was Auburn up top and Duke at the bottom, and they both, The way Auburn, I mean, Florida didn't win that. Auburn just gave up the draws, man, for real. They totally gave up the draws. And the same thing with Duke. I mean, it's Saturday was like a draws liquidation sale. Like, we're giving away draws practically for free. And that's basically what happened in both games.
Jay, I disagree, but I think Florida deserved to win that game. They were the better team. Jani Broome clearly got worn down. He got hurt in the second, more hurt in the second half.
I feel like Auburn had that. I always feel like whoever's playing Florida, I feel like has them. Florida, to their credit, they should not have won some of these games.
Jay, thank you again. I said I left you no time, but how about Jay? Auburn shirt, Grant Hill shoes, they both lose. Brutal. Are you the mush?
Grant Hill has shoes? What is a Grant Hill shoes?
The Fila's back in the day.
Right? He was wearing Fila's? Oh, my God.
Coming up, we've got more for you for tonight's national championship game and a thought on Gino Auriemma. Don't move.